WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Hey, 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 what's going on, good people? I can't believe it's already Thursday. Man, does time fly when you're having fun. And yeah, we have a lot of fun here on Current Sports. Boy, I'm excited because this week, you know, the standings are set. And this week is one of my favorite sporting events, one of my favorite times of the year. Of course, anybody who knows me knows that I am a huge, huge NBA fan. And, you know, around the playoffs, this is when you watch NBA. This is the time where you sit in front of your television and watch game by game by game. Because, you know, these teams are fighting now for a championship. They're fighting to be the world champions. And, you know, I get a lot of criticism for being an NBA fan because, you know, there's a lot of people out there that say, oh, the NBA is such a prima donna league. They play no defense. You know, which is, I could definitely see that in many regards. Because I'm telling you right now, I'm probably the biggest NBA guy you'll ever meet. But I do agree that the NBA during the regular season, especially at the beginning of the year, during the middle of the year, let's be honest here, no defense is really played, and teams do take nights off from time to time. But around this time, I mean, NBA playoff basketball is so exciting, and I love it because it's not like a one-and-done type of situation like the NCAA basketball tournament. I mean, you have these teams competing in a seven-game series, and the best of the best will eventually come out and win. So, you know, it's fun to watch, and I certainly enjoyed it. There's going to be a lot of great games happening starting Saturday. Some of the matchups are, the Pacers and Hawks, the Brooklyn Nets taking on the Toronto Raptors, which I think will be a great series. Continuing in the East, you also have the Bulls and Wizards going at it. The Bobcats will play the Heat. I think the Heat could possibly sweep the Bobcats in that one. Then in the West, you got the Spurs, Mavs, the Rockets and Trailblazers. Let's see here. This will be the two best series of the playoffs, at least the first round. The Warriors will play the Clippers, and the Grizzlies will take on the Thunder. It's going to be a lot of great playoff matchups. I can't wait for it. You know what? We're going to have tomorrow's show, we're going to have a NBA playoff special where we kind of break down each and every matchup and give you our thoughts and predictions on who will come out of the Eastern Conference, who will come out of the Western Conference, along with, talking about who will win the MVP, who is going to be the Sixth Man of the Year, and so on and so forth. Those awards will be announced very, very soon, of course, on the brink of the playoffs. But, I just think, you know, some of them are kind of no-brainers. When you talk about the MVP, I think it's Kevin Durant's to lose right now. KD has certainly been more consistent in his dominance compared to the other candidates. But, of course, LeBron James has to be mentioned in that regard. I think Joakim Noah, who has been such a catalyst for that Chicago Bulls team, he needs to be mentioned. Blake Griffin, definitely for what he has done and the improvements he have made with the LA Clippers. But yeah, well, so we'll talk about all that tomorrow. And if you want to jump the gun and give your thoughts on the NBA season that was early, you can do so by picking up that phone and dialing 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527, as always, like each and every day here on the show. We will take your calls throughout this entire hour from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock, so we encourage you to pick up that phone and give us your thoughts on anything we talk about during the show. And also, tonight is an exciting night for me because I'm such a big Detroit Pistons fan. And tonight, the ESPN 30 for 30 documentary entitled Bad Boys, centered on the Bad Boys era back in the 80s with the Detroit Pistons, that will be airing tonight. I can't wait for it. I was reading the paper this morning, and they are actually having a 30 for 30 Bad Boys documentary viewing party down at Buffalo Wild Wings, downtown Detroit. Terry Foster, who has been on the show before, of course, he's the co-host of Foster and Valenti down in Detroit. He will be hosting that watch party tonight. It airs at 8 o'clock. It should be a very interesting one. It's great to travel back in time just to look at that era because it was the greatest era in Detroit Pistons history and certainly had the entire city and state buzzing about Detroit Pistons. Unfortunately, we are in a terrible situation as far as Pistons are concerned during today's era. But, hey, that's another subject. It will be great to take a look back, and I'm looking forward to that documentary tonight. Okay, well, let's waste no time. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this April 17, 2014. 2 weeks after Michigan State said goodbye to big man Adrian Payne, it's welcoming another big-bodied forward. Now, that's Michigan State. They announced on Wednesday that 6'7", 219-pound forward Marvin Clark has signed a national letter of intent for the MSU men's basketball team for next season. This is in a press release from Coach Tom Izzo. He said, quote, "Marvin Clark Jr. is a physical wing with a very good shooting touch. He has a Big Ten ready body and doesn't shy away from contact. He can guard multiple positions and is a strong rebounder from the wing. There's no question that he is mature beyond his years and has shown the ability to overcome adversity in life." Now, Clark announced his commitment in late March and chose Michigan State over offers from Indiana, Kansas State, Iowa State, and Ole Miss. So this move certainly a good one, considering that they are losing an outstanding player in Adrian Payne. This Marvin Clark kid looks like he can take the ball inside and outside. And when you talk about 6'7", 219 pounds, yeah, that's pretty impressive. A Big Ten ready body, folks. A Big Ten ready body. I'm looking forward to him to make an immediate contribution as soon as he gets here on campus. That's great stuff there. And Detroit Cass Tech quarterback, of course, Jayrue Campbell, who made headlines with his alleged body slam of a school security guard. He's back in school. Jayrue Campbell is back in school. Now, Detroit Public Schools spokesman Stephen Wasco, who is the assistant superintendent for community relations, he confirmed this morning that 17-year-old Jayrue has returned to the Detroit High School, saying in a statement, quote, "Jayrue Campbell has been readmitted to Cass Tech. We were unable to discuss the decision because Mr. Campbell's educational records are protected under the Family Educational Rights and Privacy Act. Unless his parents authorize the district to release those records, we cannot comment further." Again, that's from Detroit Public Schools spokesman Stephen Wasco. Now, Campbell, a junior who had verbally committed to play college football, of course, at Michigan State University, faces charges of aggravated assault and assault with intent to do great bodily harm in the January 22nd incident. So at least he's back in school getting his education. That's important. Okay, senior Kelly Smith. This is unbelievable. I don't know if you guys attended yesterday's softball game with Michigan State taking on Eastern Michigan, but if you did, you witnessed one historic outing from senior Kelly Smith. My goodness, she threw the 20th no-hitter. No-hitter, folks, in school history, while junior Carly Nielsen came off the bench to hit a pinch-hit home run in the bottom of the sixth inning as Michigan State earned a 1-0 non-conference win over Eastern Michigan. Now, Smith, who struck out a season-best 9 and walked just 1 on the day, she threw 95 pitches and had her team-best 9th complete game of the season. The last no-hitter in school history was thrown by Lauren Kramer. That was back in February of 2010. An 8-0 victory in 5 innings over that was a Stetson. Now, MSU will be back in action on Friday when it starts a 3-game series at Iowa. We're going to try to get Jackie Joseph on Current Sports next week to talk about Kelly Smith's unbelievable accomplishment. Again, the 20th no-hitter in school history. We'll definitely get Jackie on and possibly Kelly Smith to talk about that remarkable accomplishment and to give us an update on how they are performing this season. That's a great win, though, coming off those back-to-back losses to that Michigan team this past weekend. So, all right. The Lansing Lugnuts, they were swept in a doubleheader by the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers on Wednesday night in Neuroscience Group Field, 10-7 and 1-0. The pair of losses extended Lansing's current losing streak to 6 games, with each of the losses coming at the hands of Midwest League Western Division opponents. Now, the Lugnuts, they continue their 6-game road trip with 3 games against the Bellwatt Snappers and Lansing's right-handed pitcher Jeremy Gabrowski, who was 0-1 with a 4.66 ERA. He will start the series opener on Thursday night, and Kyle Finnegan will start on the mound for the Snappers. First pitch is scheduled for 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And the Cleveland Indians, they topped the Tigers 3-2 last night behind 6 strong innings from Zach McAllister. Now, McAllister, he allowed 1 earned run and struck out 4 Tigers, and the Indians' bullpen held on to get the win. The Tigers trailed most of the evening and nearly stole a win, generating a run in the 8th and leaving a runner on 3rd in the 9th. before the Indians closer John Axford shut the door for good. Now, Detroit will send JV Justin Verlander on the mound today to face Indians flamethrower Danny Salazar, who struck out 14 batters in two starts this season. And my goodness, I'm glad it's over with. I am so glad it's over with. The torture is finally done with. The Detroit Pistons season ended last night in a tight 112-111 loss to the Oklahoma City Thunder. It was a very entertaining game if you checked it out yesterday. Likely MVP, Kevin Durant. He was unbelievable last night. He scored 42 for the Thunder. His 14th game breaking the 40-point barrier this season. Now, he scored 21 in the fourth quarter as OKC stormed back to take the win. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, he was great last night. He led the Pistons with a career-high 30 points, but Detroit couldn't get stops down the stretch to earn the win. The season is in the books now, and we now look forward to the NBA playoffs. And again, for Pistons fans looking for something less depressing than the current team, ESPN's 30 for 30 is premiering a new documentary, again, centered on the Bad Boys era Pistons. Now, one of the more decisive teams in the NBA history, the Bad Boys were both loved and loathed in NBA circles. Now, the documentary will explore the forgotten dynasty of the NBA's golden era, sandwiched between the Lakers and the Celtics dynasties of the 80s and Bulls dominance of the 90s. The Bad Boys were often overlooked until the night. So, again, check that out. I believe it airs from 8 to 9 p.m. on ESPN. Should be a good one. Gotta love those 30 for 30s, man. They go so in-depth in each story. Great stuff. An Arizona detective said investigators have found DNA matching former NFL player Darren Sharper's on one of two young women accusing him of drugging and sexually assaulting them last November. Now, Sharper has been accused of drugging and assaulting as many as 9 women in 5 states. Can you believe that? And has been held in L.A. County Jail since February 27th. My goodness. Now, attorneys in Tempe, Arizona, are trying to get Sharper out of Cali's custody to attend a bond hearing in Arizona. And, you know, we've talked about this topic day in and day out here on Current Sports, just about the number of arrests. When it comes to the number of arrests in the NFL, it's absolutely ridiculous. In just a moment, you're going to get to hear my sit down with former MSU great running back Tico Duckett. And of course, he went on to play for the Washington Redskins in the NFL. But I sat down with Tico last night and talked about, you know, the number of arrests in the NFL along with so much more. You get to hear that interview in just a sec as he addresses just why there are so many arrests in the NFL. I simply don't get it. Okay, and, you know, tonight should be a tearjerker for anyone who attends this ceremony. I will be out there to attend it and shoot some footage for Current Sports TV. It should be a touching ceremony as the public is invited to the Lacey Joy Elizabeth Holdsworth Life Celebration, which will be taking place at 6:30 p.m. this evening at the Breslin Center. Now, it's an event to honor the life of Lacey, of course, the 8-year-old from St. John's who lost her battle with cancer last week. Doors will open at 6 p.m. in the celebration. Again, it starts at 6:30 p.m. Parking at the Breslin Center for those who want to come out and attend it. It will be totally free. And in lieu of flowers, the Holdsworth family has requested that attendees who are making the trip out there to the Breslin tonight, they make donations instead of bringing flowers, make donations to charities of their choice in her name. Now, suggestions from the family include donating to the Sparrow Foundation Rehabilitation Fund or by purchasing a brick with Lacey's name for the city of St. John's Spray Park. So they're asking, you know, don't bring flowers. If you're trying to make a contribution to the Holdsworth family, please do so by, again, making a donation to a charity of their choice in her name. And we'll put the information of the Sparrow Foundation Rehabilitation Fund on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. And, again, also you can also purchase a brick with Lacey's name for the city of St. John's Spray Park. Now, again, those who want to make a contribution directly to the family, if you want to do that, you can do so to P.O. Box 101 St. John's, Michigan, zip code 48879. Again, that's P.O. Box 101 St. John's, Michigan, 4-8-8-7-9. We'll also put that information on our Facebook page as well. And also, those attending, this is pretty important too. The family is also asking that attendees wear bright colors and smiles to celebrate Lacey's life. It should be a touching ceremony, to say the least, tonight. And I will be out there to cover that event. And boy, it's going to be hard for me to hold back some tears. Boy, I tell you, that cancer hits you. It hits me very, very much home because, you know, that's how my grandfather passed away. So, and you talk about an 8-year-old who was just filled with smiles and giggles, losing her life to this heinous disease. You know, it's sad. It's just really sad. And, you know, it's great that Michigan State is holding this event to honor her life and legacy. So, again, that's at 6:30 p.m. tonight. Doors were open at 6 p.m. at the Breslin Center. Okay, well, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in, again, and give your thoughts on any of those, you know the number, 517-355-9527. Again, that is 517-355-9527. We'll take your calls on anything in the world of sports that you want to get off your chest and want to talk about and discuss. You can also, if you happen to be at work and tied up and can't make it to the phone, you can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. All right, well, let's shift gears here a little bit. Again, on Current Sports TV, I want to thank those who came out last night to the Current Sports TV taping as I sat down with Tico Duckett. Yes, you Spartan fans know that name quite well. He's such an influential figure around the mid-Michigan community and beyond. Of course, along with his brother, Ty, they do so much, so much. I always call them, you know, just some of the hardest working men I've ever met in my life with the philanthropic endeavors they put on and just so involved in the community. Of course, they are also involved with Duckett Brothers Distributing, which is a great supply company that is expanding left and right. I got to sit down with Tico last night. And as always, each and every Thursday here on Current Sports Radio, we give you a sneak peek into the interview that will be featured tonight on Current Sports TV. And, you know, again, going back to that, just the alarming arrest rates, of course, as I just talked about, Darren Sharper being involved with the sexual assault allegations that he has him currently locked up in the, you know, the L.A. County Jail. You know, it's really disturbing when you look at the amount of arrest in the NFL that have taken place from 2000, from the year, just looking at the year 2000 to present day. Ladies and gents, there have been over 700 arrests, over 700 arrests in the NFL. Alarming numbers, more arrests, more by any players in any North American sport. I mean, it's really unbelievable stuff. And you know, Tico Duckett, a man who had a great career here at Michigan State University on the gridiron, who went on to play in the NFL for the Washington Redskins, him being in that realm, in that type of atmosphere, I had to ask Tico, why, oh, why are these numbers continuing to rise each and every year? And why, oh, why are these numbers happening specifically in the NFL?
You know, I don't really have the answer, but I do think that, you know, football is a gladiator sport. And, you know, it's sometimes hard to turn off the rage. It's sometimes hard to turn it on and off. And some people just have trouble with turning on and off. Mm-hmm. You know, and you have a target on your back. 9 out of 10 times, the athlete's riding around in a shiny car. You know, there's people that want to sue you. You know, there's so many different dynamics that come at you. And you're in a fishbowl. Everyone knows who you are as soon as you walk into a club, mm-hmm. you know, a restaurant. So you really have a big target on your back. And if you don't really know how to take that target off your back, you're going to be a victim many times.
Gotcha. Now, Tico, again, now, even though these numbers are surely alarming, over 700 arrests, again, since the year 2000 sure. up until this point, mm-hmm. it's not like every NFL player is getting arrested. It seems like that. I tell you that.
Right, right. Well, you know, football, you have an array of athletes. You know, you have the guys that are going to church every, you know, Sunday, every other day. You have the guys that are out in the streets every other day. So the guys, obviously, that stay out in the streets and they're out in the public, they're the guys that always seem to get in trouble.
You talk about that gladiator mentality. For sure. those, could you expound upon that and how that translates sure. to on the field play sure. and off the field?
Well, when you're on the field in the NFL, you're pretty much trying to hurt people. You're trying to put people off the game, if you want to say. You're trying to wear down your opponent. You're pretty much battling every play. Mm-hmm. And then to take that aggression and then to, okay, let's just go to dinner. Okay. it's you could be at dinner and someone says the wrong thing to you,
right,
and you didn't turn it off, and you're talking back. Next thing you know, you're in an altercation and you're arrested.
So it's ingrained in your DNA to a degree.
Well, you have to be. I mean, to be an athlete in the NFL, you have to have a certain mentality or you will get hurt. It's a certain mentality in the NFL.
You being a player, of course, that played in the NFL and learning how to turn on and off that rage and adrenaline, sure, from just normal society, how did you translate that? Because, of course, you're not a, sure, guy who was arrested in the
NFL.
Well, I
learned at a younger age playing football because of my parents. My parents were very supportive with me and let me know that, what you do on the field, you can't do off the field. They always told me about, you're in a fishbowl. You can't do what the other guy does because everyone knows you. And so I started, in the ninth grade of how to act on and off the field. And I think really some of these guys don't get that education from their family, and they're just thrusted up into the NFL without the kind of background that they really need.
Now, your brother, of course, he also had a pretty good career in the NFL. Tad,
sure,
we had Tad on the show a few months ago. What advice did you give him? Because you're looking at these numbers. What advice did you give him when he made that transition?
There was a time when he was in high school, if you want to say that, I did the little training,
Did
hey,
you?
This is, if you have a beer, don't drive. The worst thing you could do, and what I would tell him, the worst thing you could do is have a scholarship, be one of the number one players in the country, and have a DUI in the 12th grade. So I was educating him as he was coming up as well. And while he was at Michigan State, kind of the same things were happening as far as, talking about drinking and driving, talking about being in the wrong room at the wrong time, being involved in, being in a room where things are happening, and even though you're not partaking, you don't need to be in that room. So we talked about it quite a bit, actually.
Wow, that's great stuff. Mm-hmm. Now, to shift gears really quick, Tico,
sure,
another one of the biggest stories that we've been talking about week in and week out has to be Northwestern University unionizing, the athletes there, the student body there, trying to unionize, become, looked at as employees of the university, ideally, fighting for certain benefits and whatnot. What were your thoughts when you first heard about this story, and is it a good thing,
sure,
for college athletics?
It's a double-edged sword here. You have to look at it as, it would be a union. The athletes would then start to be protected. They wouldn't have as many practice days, as many practice hours. A lot of their focus, the athletes' focus, will be taken off of sports and put more into the academics and free time. Because right now, I could tell you that most athletes that are playing football and basketball, I would say 80% of their time is either on the field, in the weight room, in some sort of practice mode somewhere.
Right.
So as far as studying and hanging out with your friends and all the normal college stuff doesn't really happen as much.
Do you agree with it? Are you in support of this move to unionize?
Well, I'm really not sure yet because so many ramifications could happen either way. Either the student athlete becomes, hey, we're only going to practice a couple times a week. That way, and if that happens, then the level of play may go down.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, these athletes today, they're getting younger and better, so
right,
they don't need so much practice. They may need more time just to be normal.
Right.
So I think I'm all for it if it helps the athlete. I know when I was playing here at State, we practiced 7 days a week. There wasn't a day off. And we started in July and we were done in January.
That's the next thing.
If we went to a bowl game.
Exactly.
It was just the way it was. So I can imagine if we had Sunday off.
Right. Just to relax
just
a little bit.
Just one day,
Right.
Yeah, sure.
And Tico, for you being, of course, a former college athlete here at Michigan State,
sure,
University, one of the biggest reasons why the student athlete body at Northwestern wanted to do this was, like you just said, academically, they felt as though they were struggling.
Sure.
And, when you're devoting, 50 hours to 60 hours a week,
sure,
to a sport, how can you adequately study and get good grades?
Right.
How did your academic career look when,
sure,
you were putting in all that time when you were here at State?
Well, I can tell you I learned to time management, period. Took a lot of summer classes. You know, you tried to have light workloads during the season. But I mastered time management. You know, as far as I had to, you know, I didn't go out with the friends as much. You know, you end up basically not being a normal college student. And some people can't manage it, and they don't make it through the 4 or 5 years of college. And right. some people get it, manage it, and then they actually, after football, they learn to do it in life. So, you know, it's not that bad if you're a good time management person.
So you must have did pretty well then, in academically.
Well, I did okay.
You did okay?
I can tell you, if I was a student,
right.
I would have done really well. But, you know, again, I mean, you watch these football or basketball players, they're playing on Tuesday night, Thursday night, Friday. I mean, they're all over the place.
All over.
And luckily, football players just had, you know, Saturdays that they had to play.
Gotcha.
But I dream sometimes, I wish I could just be a student.
Right.
You know, we're at practice, we hear people driving by in their cars, you're going to class, people are actually coming from class, going back to the dorm room, have all afternoon to be normal.
Exactly.
So, you know, it might help if it comes to union.
Now, for you, you know, when this story came out for me, Tico, when I heard about Northwestern unionizing,
mm-hmm.
I immediately, doing no reading and diving into what exactly this entailed,
sure.
I immediately off the bat thought, oh, man, what, are they going to get paid or something like that? Are college athletes going to get paid?
Sure, sure.
Of course, that's not the case. That's not what these athletes are fighting
right.
for right now. It's more so the academics. But
that's going to follow.
That's going to follow,
gonna
though.
Follow.
Diving into it, that's going to follow. That's going to
yeah.
be the next step, possibly,
absolutely.
Of conversation.
Sure.
Got to ask you, because we've had Greg Kelser on here. We've had a few athletes on here that
mm-hmm.
have weighed in on this topic of college athletes being paid.
Sure.
I want to get your thoughts on it. Do you think they should get something?
Well, you know, my story, we played Notre Dame. They were number one in the country. We had over 1 million people watching on ABC Sports. Radio. We had a full house. There's probably 70-some thousand people there. The coaches got paid well. The concession stand people, everyone was in the food chain of the money. And quite frankly, after that game, I had $2 in my pocket and was going to decide, do you get a beer or a Whopper? You know? So you have to think, okay, all this money is being generated.
Yeah.
Can an athlete have some sort of spending money from that money being generated? Because there's a lot of athletes that just, you know, you can't work, you're on the field, you can't really earn any money.
Right.
So how are you supposed to really survive? And most athletes don't, you know, they can't call their parents and say, hey, could you send me $100? You pretty much, you know, their parents are calling you, asking you to send the money.
You're basically,
you know,
on your
right,
own.
You're on your own. So I think it'd be nice to have some sort of stipend. Absolutely.
Right.
I mean,
now,
sure.
With that being said, Tico, don't you think that could open a little, you know, a can of worms, if you will, for other universities, you know, around the nation
mm-hmm.
that maybe not be able to have the luxury of having, you know, being secure financially to
sure.
do that?
Well, I guess they have to look at it on a scale. You know, the colleges that can do it, they have a certain proportion, and maybe it's $200. The colleges that can only afford $50 and
mm-hmm.
probably go from there. But
right.
I don't think it's right for a college player to not have any money or an opportunity to make any.
Gotcha. Interesting take there. All
sure.
right, Tico, to shift gears really quick.
Sure.
Of course, I just recently sat down with MSU head football coach Mark D'Antonio as they get prepared now for the spring game, which will be taking place next week, Saturday at 2 p.m. at Spartan Stadium.
Yep.
Coming off an incredible season like they just ensued upon, winning a Rose Bowl. The
sure.
Rose Bowl. This upcoming season is going to bring about a certain expectation and
mm-hmm.
a certain buzz.
Sure.
What do you think is going to happen this year for this team?
Well, you know, I think they can keep the momentum going and have a you know, a great season, but it's going to be harder. You know, they have every game, the opponent's going to say, hey, we're playing the Rose Bowl champs from last year. So the other people are going to be coming at you every game. You're not going to have a game off.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we have the talent. We have some young guys that are going to show up. And Coach D, I mean, that guy's phenomenal.
Yeah.
He gets these guys ready. Whatever year it is, there's something that he gets them motivated on. And I look forward to the season.
Is there any pressure now to validate that season, that magical season that they had last year?
Yeah, I think there's a little pressure. I mean, you were number one. You're the champs, and, you know.
Right.
And, you know, Rose Bowl, I feel like you can't really get any higher bowl than that, even though people say, you
mm-hmm.
know, hey, that wasn't the number one bowl.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you want to repeat that. You want people and players to know this is a great team. They reach the Rose Bowl year after year, and I think they can do it.
with success breeds attention,
absolutely,
of course. And for this MSU football team, the attention has certainly been through the roof since that Rose Bowl win. For Coach D'Antonio and his staff, how do you keep your players focused and keep their head out of the clouds?
Well, it's just like anything else. When you have success in life and business, family, what have you, you have to stay humble, you know, because as quick as you got there to the top, it can be taken away. And as long as Coach D, as I know, keeps his staff focused and his players focused, I don't see that hindering him at all.
Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah. All right, Tico, something I've always gone on the record of saying when it comes to you and your brother is you guys are always busy doing something.
Something,
yeah, man. I got to ask you, how is Duckett Brothers Distributing going, and what other endeavors do you have going on?
Duckett Brothers is going great. We're growing. We're reaching out outside the state now, and the same with the cleaning company, D-Squared. It's a lot of work. We're just trying to maintain and control the growth. But with that, we're also involved. I'm involved with New World Flood. It's TJ's nonprofit organization. That's part of why I'm growing my beard out right now for
cancer.
That's
why.
Yeah,
I
joined him in the beard. And, you know, it's funny quick story. It started out, I started in July. He said we were going to get it cut in February. Well, that got postponed.
Sure,
you know, and I was like, okay. Now it was April. Now it's all the way to May 7th. So after May 7th, I'll be ready. I'll probably be about 10 pounds lighter. You know?
Exactly.
Exactly. But also involved with the Battlefield Brawl coming up. Mm-hmm. And what that is, a bunch of teams get together, play flag football. Money's raised for the Odom Group. And it's some of the athletes get involved, and it's just a fun, it's like a hoop game, pickup game, but it's football.
Right.
So it's going to be fun. That's on the 26th of this
next
month.
Week.
The 27th.
The 27th, the day after the spring game.
Absolutely.
I'll be playing in it.
Uh-oh.
Hopefully
uh-oh.
I don't kill myself out
let me
there,
let me check
okay?
something here.
Yeah, I'm hitting Planet Fitness tonight, okay? All right? But I need to get, it's going to be a fun time.
Sure, it's going to be great.
And we had Timbo Gracchus on the show, and he said, I thought it was going to be a walk in the park.
Sure.
I thought it was going to be a one pickup game,
sure,
maybe I'll go home, but he said, man, you got to bring it.
Yeah,
you got to be in shape.
You'll be sore. Absolutely.
Sounds like a fun time.
You can count on it. It's a great time. Great time.
Yeah, definitely. Sure. Definitely. Can't wait for that. All right, Tio, you got two more minutes.
Yeah.
Stick around because the 12th man starts right now. All right, where it is time for the 12th man. Well, for this week, we're going to go to our social media pages on Facebook.com/currentsports and also my Twitter page at AlMartinWKR. Some folks have some questions for you, Tico. So,
sure.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Let's start it off. First, we'll go to Eric from East Lansing. What advice would you give to the current Spartan players making the leap to the NFL?
I would, if they feel that they need to and it's their passion, please make that leap. Mm-hmm. Please make it and make it good.
If it's in their heart.
If it's in their heart, make that leap.
That's a simple one there.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you, Eric, for that. Stephanie from Fowler wants to know, what was your favorite moment wearing a Michigan State uniform?
My favorite moment was when I was on the Love Connection. No, I'm just
kidding. During the break.
Exactly. No, my favorite moment was scoring the winning touchdown in 91 to beat Michigan when they were number one in the country and we were number four.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Favorite moment. What's the second one to that one?
I don't have any second ones.
Just that one.
You know, there's too many second ones.
Why did it stand out so much for
you? Well, we beat Michigan.
They
were number one, and it felt good to score the winning touchdown.
There you have
Absolutely.
That. Cannot ever forget that one. All right,
exactly.
Thanks a lot, Stephanie. Zach from East Lansing, what lessons that you learned during your football career best helped you outside of the game of football?
That's easy. Work ethic. Work ethic, number one. You know, no one's going to outwork me on or off the field or in business or in life.
Competitive.
Yeah, very.
Very competitive.
But it's work ethic. You got to work at it.
It is.
That's constantly.
Definitely a great message there.
Absolutely.
Thanks a lot, Zach. And Phil from Jackson, what inspired you to create your own supply company, and how is it working with your younger brother,
sure.
Todd?
Well, I basically saw a niche in supplies and went off on my own and started it. And how's it to work with Ty?
Yeah. I got to know that. I want to know that,
too. It's all right. No. No, actually, he's great to work with. You know, I always say that we stay in our own lanes. He's great in the community. He's great at promoting the company. He's great at, you know, being the community liaison. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm good at the others, crunching numbers and growing
business.
The business side. And so we put it together, and it works. So
it's such a dynamic duo with you two. Do you got a favorite moment growing up with Ty?
a favorite moment.
Favorite moment, man. I know there's a lot of them. It's got to be a lot.
There's a lot of favorite moments, but I know one of my favorite moments.
Come on, embarrass him for me.
You want me to embarrass him?
Please do. Come on.
When he was 8 years old, and you know there's a weight limit. Mm-hmm. For eight, if you're over, you know, I don't know, 90 pounds or something.
Right.
So just to see him before the weigh-in, he was running, trying to lose weight before he, I mean, you know, and he's like eight.
He's 8 years old trying to lose weight.
Right, right. It was a funny moment.
How much did he weigh?
He was probably a pound or two over 90, so he was trying to lose a pound or two, trying to run it off. And I was just, you know, TJ, you're not going to lose that 2 pounds. You know?
that
was just
hilarious.
A funny moment.
It certainly is.
Sure.
That's great stuff. So, again, reminding folks, the Battlefield, when is that again?
Yeah. The 27th of April.
And your company has expanded now to Detroit and what other areas?
Toledo.
Detroit and Toledo, yep. So definitely look out for that.
Absolutely.
I tell you, you are always on the grind. One of the hardest working men I know.
I appreciate that.
Tico Duckett. Again, you can catch that entire Current Sports TV episode tonight. DVR to watch it live. As long as you watch it, it's all that matters. 10 p.m. tonight on WKRTV. Other than, you know, the sit down with Tico, you will also get to see some highlights from MSU softball and baseball. Hear from Gary Harris and Brandon Dawson when it comes to their NBA decisions. Get to see some footage from the MSU Academic Gala in which Archie Manning, folks, the legendary NFL quarterback, you get to hear from him and also hear from Coach D'Antonio as the MSU football team prepares for spring practice. Catch all that and so much more tonight on WKAR-TV at 10 p.m. Okay, let's hit the break. When we come back, we'll remember the Bad Boys. Yes, the Detroit Pistons Bad Boys era of the 80s. We'll talk about that in light of the ESPN 30 for 30 documentary airing tonight. And also talk about Marvin Clark, who is signed with MSU. Looks like a very, very good recruit for the MSU men's basketball team. All of that and so much more. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports returns in just a sec.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. Only 5% of the students who applied to Stanford this year got in. That figure is less than half of what it was 10 years ago, and the story is the same at colleges and universities across the country. So what gives students who are accepted an edge? We'll ask a college counselor next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
That's Here and Now, coming up at 2 p.m.
Hi, I'm Brad Walker, your afternoon host for All Things Considered on WKAR. I've always felt hosting ATC is like being a head chef in a restaurant. You always need to find the right ingredients to make a great dish. You start out with your main course of NPR, throw in a little spice with some White House drama, a pinch of Michigan news, a dash of local news, and you have the perfect recipe for a news feast. All Things Considered, weekday afternoons at 4 on WKAR.
Happy cooking.
Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, reminding you that we are taking your calls with about 20 minutes or so left in the hour. Anything you want to talk about in the world of sports, we will take your calls and discuss it. 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. In just a minute, we're going to talk about the Detroit Pistons Bad Boys era. Of course, that ESPN 30 for 30 documentary. The 30 for 30 series is one unbelievable series, one of my favorite docs of all time in the world of sports. But they're going to be talking about the Detroit Pistons Bad Boys tonight at 8 p.m., and we're going to remember the Bad Boys here on Current Sports in just a sec. And also, we'll talk about Marvin Clark, MSU's new recruitment in the world of men's basketball. But before we do that, we have a friend of the show on with us to remind us of a pretty cool event happening this Saturday, April 19th at 8 p.m. It's my pleasure to welcome to the show MMA and boxing fight promoter Ron DeLeon. How you doing, Ron?
I'm doing well, Al. How are you doing, sir?
Very well. So remind the people what is going down this Saturday.
I've got this Saturday night at the Lansing Center. Doors open up at 7 p.m. Fight starts at 8 p.m. We have 15 action-packed cage fights. Just $20 in advance, $25 at the door. We've got 15 fights out. We've got 4 championship fights and 4 female fights.
Wow. 4 championship fights, 4 female fights. I'm looking at some of these fighters here when you talk about Darren Wimbush and Lauren Foley, Bradford Brown. I mean, what fights are you most looking forward to this Saturday?
You know what I love about what I do, Al? I'm the matchmaker, so I set these fights up. I got into this business because I enjoy watching quality competitive fights. And I'm excited to see all of them. I've got guys, Carnell Giles is 20 wins, 20-2, my heavyweight champion on the card.
Right.
I also have a brand new guy making a debut, MSU student right now by the name of Louis Radecki. He's with the MSU Jiu-Jitsu Club, making his cage debut as well. So it's all different styles, all different experiences in there, quality experience out there doing their thing. So really excited about the whole card from top to bottom.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I got to ask you, when you talk about this event, again, Capital Punishment, this Saturday, April 19th at 8 p.m. down at the Lansing Center. Now, Ryan, I'm looking at some of the comments on your Facebook page. I'm looking at the flyer here, well-done flyer, highlighting some of the fighters that will be fighting this Saturday. And looking at some of the comments, one guy is saying it is one of the best cards he's seen in quite a while. What separates this Saturday away from other promotions that you've had?
Well, I've done a lot of I've done shows anywhere from high schools to the Armories to the Lansing Center and everything in between. And what I try to do is put just to get a really stacked card, put it to the mecca of venues in the Lansing area, which is the Lansing Center. There's a quality, high class spot, and I got all the best fighters we could available that were in the area. They're available, booked them well in advance, and like I said, that's why we have such a stacked card. Like I said, pretty much all our champs are defending their belts, and I guess it's overall just really excited about this show. The outpouring of phone calls we've been getting, calls and everything, yard signs all over the city, posters hanging up all over the place. But as you mentioned with the poster, Capital Punishment poster, Ray Del Rio shoots a lot for the MSU sports program over there.
Yeah.
Did a phenomenal job with this. Give another shout out to him. He did a great job with it, and everybody knows about this show, so it's just the place to be this Saturday night.
Yes, it is. Remind the folks one more time, and what can people expect on Saturday, Ryan?
The action-packed night of fun. It's a family fun with cage fights involved. We have 15 fights, as I mentioned. Doors open at 7. The fights begin at 8 p.m. They can reach for tickets. They can call 214-0929. That's 214-0929. Tickets are $20 in advance, 25 day of the show. We have a few cage sites left at $40 a piece. You're sitting right by the cage. So exciting night. Really looking forward to it.
Oh, gotta love that. All right, Ryan, get back to work, man. You're on the clock.
Thank you very much for your time, Al. I appreciate it.
No problem. Day. No problem. You too, bud. Gotta look forward to that. Again, that is MMA and boxing fight promoter Ryan De Leon. It should be a great event. Again, that's Capital Punishment. That's a cool name, too. Capital Punishment this Saturday, April 19th at 8 p.m. Okay, we'll hit our second break. When we come back, we'll talk some Pistons bad boys, as well as we'll talk about the newest recruit for the MSU men's basketball team, Throwback Thursday, and so much more. Again, if you want to call in, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527.
So, you will survive. It's just a garden variety panic attack. Welcome to Silicon Valley. We see people like you all the time.
On the next Fresh Air, we talk with Mike Judge about creating the new HBO comedy series, Silicon Valley, about computer geeks who have become millionaires or are trying to. Judge also created Beavis and Butthead and King of the Hill. Join us.
That's Fresh Air. Come up at 3 o'clock. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, now joined by production assistant Matt Luckey. Matt, I am excited about tonight on ESPN. Of course, the 30 for 30 Bad Boys documentary will be airing. I'm excited. Are you excited? Are you going to DVR it or something?
I'm excited. It's just going to be nice to see the Pistons celebrated. as opposed to the current state of affairs. So it'll be nice to go back to the glory days of Bad Boys basketball for sure.
Yes, it will. And right now during this segment, we're just going to kind of, you know, take a look back at, you know, the incredible era that was back in the 80s for the Detroit Pistons. Again, the Bad Boys era, the most celebrated era. There's not too many you can celebrate in the Pistons realm, but that one you definitely can. That one, of course, in 2004 when the Pistons won that championship, a great team there. But, you know, it was a great era for me, man. I mean, we've talked about this left and right about how, you know, for me, basketball, I feel, is just too nice nowadays. I mean, everybody's buddy-buddy. You don't see the physical rivalries. I mean, even the fights. You barely see a fight in the NBA nowadays. I mean, that hate that teams had for one another back in the day, back in the 80s, and even the 90s, you just don't see it anymore in today's NBA. And it's nice to go back tonight and take a look at some of the most, you know, that just don't mess with me type of Detroit Pistons mentality that they had. I mean, for me, that ushered in, that was the team for me that really ushered in that team that you love to hate in the NBA, for me. I mean, because the Pistons, everywhere you went, I mean, they took no mess. I mean, they would be in your face, very physical, would put you on your butt in a minute, a lot of trash talking. I mean, the personalities on that team, too. When you look at Isaiah Thomas, Bill Laimbeer, Dennis Rodman, Rick Mahorn, the Microwave, Vinnie Johnson, even Mark Aguirre, James Edwards, and a lot of people
John Sally.
And then a lot of people forget that. Remember, Daryl Dawkins was actually on that team back in 1988. I mean, and then you look at the coach, you let him, a fiery guy, an in-your-face type of personality, in Chuck Daly. I mean, oh, it doesn't get any better than that for me. I mean, in the talent level of that team. I mean, Isaiah Thomas, he goes down, as you know, in many people's minds, as the greatest point guard to ever play the game, top five at least. You know what I mean? I mean, and you look at Joe Dumars, possibly the greatest defensive guard to ever play in the NBA. You know the rivalry that they had with Michael Jordan, for me, really stands out to me, Matt, because even though I'm a big, huge Pistons fan, I'm probably an even bigger Michael Jordan fan, which makes no sense because, you know, you look at that 80s era and, you know, many Pistons fans, including my uncle, he's a huge, I mean, he still rocks his Detroit Bad Boys, you know, skull and bones shirt to this day. And, you know, there was a hate for Michael Jordan's team there. You know what I mean? Because of the rivalry that they had. It's pretty cool. I was doing, you know, some reading up on just the Bad Boys in the recent days. And it's pretty cool. This is an excerpt from one of the websites online. Now, it says, quote, I'm just going to read this quick paragraph. Quote, the rivalry started in the 1988 Eastern Conference semifinals. This is when you talk about the Bad Boys and Michael Jordan. Back in the 1988 Eastern Conference semifinals, after the Pistons and Bulls beat the Bullets and Cavs in the first round, the aggressive Bad Boys, as Detroit became known, were on the rise. Michael Jordan was league MVP, also Defensive Player of the Year. How many times do you hear that? MVP and Defensive Player of the Year in one year? That's crazy. And the ultimate challenge for the Pistons, top-notch defense. In a nationally televised game in Detroit on Easter Sunday, of all things, Jordan torched the Pistons for 59 points in a 112-110 Bulls victory. He burned them for 61 in a 125-120 overtime victory back in 1987. Now, this angered Chuck Daly, who vowed never to allow him to light them up again. Despite Jordan's individual skills, the Bulls lacked the talent and mental toughness to beat Detroit, who ravaged Chicago in five games. The Pistons went on to beat Boston in six and won their first conference title since they moved from Fort Wayne. So that right there was kind of the start to that entire Bad Boys and, you know, Michael Jordan, Chicago Bulls hate. And it was fun to watch. And it even got to the point where we all know the book. I was talking to Jason Vlahos, who was one of the producers on Current Sports TV, and we were talking about the documentary yesterday, and he still has his Jordan Rules book, the Jordan Rules, to this day. I mean, and then it was funny, they would bring that book up to Isaiah and, you know, Bill Laimbeer and Isaiah Thomas and Joe Dumars, and they would act like they never even heard of that. They would say, oh, the Jordan Rules, what is that? I mean, it was just fun. It was a fun type of era, Matt, and I can't wait to see and go back into the time machine and look at that era again tonight.
Yeah, it just seemed like the players had a much longer leash. You got to really know the personalities because when things boiled over, they were allowed to boil over a little bit. Whereas today, in today's NBA, you know, the second there's even an inkling of trouble, the whistles come out, the guys get ejected, everybody goes to their corners. And then, you know, off the court, everyone's so buddy-buddy now
yeah.
that you don't have these kind of, you know, taking shots at each other in the media and that kind of thing. So it's like it almost seems like part of the intensity has been taken away.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
And if it hasn't been taken away, it's certainly, you know, not as prevalent as it was.
Mm-mm.
And I think the people normally just kind of see the Pistons as, you know, they get sandwiched between, you know, the Lakers, Celtics, 80s dominance, and then Jordan's Bulls. But, I mean,
right.
to be where they were when they were, I mean, they were the last thing holding the league back from the reign of Michael Jordan. I mean, they made him earn it every
oh, yeah.
time. I mean, you said he lit him up for all those points, but
They didn't transcend to W's.
It's not like it was easy.
Right.
You know, they made him work for it, and exactly, it didn't translate to W's, especially when they mattered.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they would put him in his place when it mattered in the playoffs, and it seemed like they made him earn his stripes. I think, honestly, the Bad Boys Pistons might be partly responsible for how dominant Jordan became, because mm-hmm. he realized how hard he had to work and the kind of teams he was going to have to beat when he eventually did get to that level. So I think, mm-hmm. in a way, they kind of propelled him even further because they were that last hurdle, that last obstacle to dominating the league.
Right.
And, of course, he'd get so bored of that, he would play baseball for a year and then come back. I mean, it was just—
Exactly.
To be the team that, you know, kind of held guard. They were the old guard transitioning into Jordan's NBA. It's impressive. It's sad because they kind of get overshadowed by Jordan's legacy.
They do.
But I think tonight will be a good way for people who maybe aren't as familiar, for younger people, to take a look back and just see how talented that team was. Because
right.
like you said, I mean, they have Bill Laimbeer. They have young Dennis Rodman.
Yeah.
Before he
went off the rocket.
Right. Before he took trips to North Korea, he was a
wedding dress
dominant rebounder.
Yeah.
You know, the most dominant rebounder in the league. I mean,
yeah.
John Sally, Rick Mahorn, Vinnie Johnson could come in and score 15 points in a minute.
The microwave, baby.
It's crazy. And then, of course, you have Isaiah Thomas and Joe Dumars. I mean,
right.
like you said, the personalities on that team made them almost bigger than basketball. That
right.
that culture of the Bad Boys was almost bigger than just on the court. I mean, they were tough,
yeah.
almost too tough for a lot of teams in the NBA. I mean, they got a lot of flack. Like you said,
they did.
If you weren't a Pistons fan,
you hated the Pistons.
And your team certainly hated playing them.
Because
mm-hmm. even if you got a win, you were waking up the next day, you know, putting ice everywhere because you were sore. Because
right.
they would beat you up.
You know,
might
Mike
beat them
said,
on the scoreboard, but they're going to physically beat you down.
Oh, yeah, tear you down. You know, Mike went on the record to say that, you know, I remember watching, I don't know if you know about the tape, like Come Fly With Me and Michael Jordan's Playground. Jordan made these compilation tapes of his highlights over his career. One of them was entitled Michael Jordan's Playground. And it's a segment in the tape during the documentary where, you know, he goes through some of his toughest competitors in the league. Or like Larry Bird, Magic, Dominique Wilkins, they used to go at it all the time. And then he ends the segment by talking about the Bad Boys. And he talks about Joe Dumars specifically. I think it's kind of timely, too, with Joe D, of course, you know, leaving the Pistons organization as president now. But he goes on record as saying that Joe Dumars, nobody plays me as tough as Joe Dumars. He was the ultimate challenge for him going out there on the court. Him and, of course, the Pistons. But individually, Joe Dumars was the best defender he had ever played against. And that's saying a lot. That is saying a ton coming from who I consider to be the greatest basketball player to ever lace him up and hit the hardwood. So, and like you said, the NBA won't allow that type of physicality anymore, because I always say today's technical, today's flagrant is yesterday's maybe no call.
Hard foul.
Or hard foul.
Right.
You know what I mean? And you know, it will never go back to that, because I don't think the NBA is willing to change that much. They're trying to keep it a clean league. And Lord knows about, you know, the emphasis that's put on injuries and concussions nowadays. But, man, was it fun to watch. And you know, me being a Piston fan and loving that era, I will never forget. My favorite memory had to be, and it probably goes down as a kind of a salty bad memory for the Bad Boys. But remember when the Bulls finally beat the Pistons in 1991? And, of course, you remember the walk to the locker room. They left early. Isaiah, the entire team, they walked right in front of the Bulls bench with about, I don't know, it was seconds left in the game. Did not shake any of the Chicago Bulls' hands. Jordan's sitting there like, really? Okay, that's how you're going to do us? And it was just a huge sign of disrespect. But, man, was it fun to watch that walk from the court to the locker room to see that.
Right, I mean, they embraced being the villains.
Right.
You know, the league's villains, quote unquote. And I think one of the best parts about it is that even though, you know, Isaiah Thomas and a lot of these guys are Hall of Famers, it's not like you look back at it and say Isaiah Thomas's Pistons teams. You look back and say the Bad Boys, and that's one of the things that I think, you know, one of the reasons why Detroit loved them so much and why Detroit embraced that 2004 team is because it wasn't just a collection of stars, it was a unit. They were right. The Bad Boys. I mean, it was a group of guys, not just individual stars here and there. It was the true team concept, and you don't see that often in the NBA. I mean, the Pistons are really, I know they're Hall of Famers, but they're kind of the only team that isn't just winning championships on the backs of superstars.
Exactly. You know, I mean,
it's
even in
04. Not just one or two guys, especially in 04.
Especially
I mean, they were
04,
a five-man unit.
Right.
And that's what the team was, and I think it's great to see. You don't see it enough in the NBA. It's a star league, but to see that team just dominate the league, run roughshod over the league. I mean, three straight finals appearances.
Right.
You know, they lose, obviously, to Jordan in 91, but to have that stretch where they were just untouchable,
it's great
to
watch.
It's awesome.
It's
it
great.
Really is.
If you, so my favorite Bad Boys memory had to be that walk-off just because it was great to watch, and it just epitomized what a Bad Boy. And another thing I want to go on record of saying is, you know, a lot of players in the league today, I think, try to put on a facade and be something they're not, and try to act like macho, you know, that I'm this big, tough guy, or just try to act in a certain way for the camera. The way that you saw the Pistons and that gritty type of, we are trying to beat you down, we're in a way, they had that Bad Boys mantra on the court, but they also had it off of it as well. I mean, they didn't just put on a facade for the cameras on the court.
Right, there was no breaking character.
Yeah, there was no breaking character. Because I talked to, you know, a Fred Heumann at Channel 6 who was in Detroit covering the Bad Boys during that era. I believe he was with Channel 7 or Channel 2 News during that time. And he told me of a story when, you know, Bill Laimbeer and Rick Mahorn, you know, are just, you know, cussing the reporters out before the interview. And that's just how they were. They were legitimate guys that you did not like, but if you were a Piston fan, you loved them. It wasn't a facade. They didn't put on this stage just for the cameras. And that's also what I want to say.
And it worked to their advantage because, I mean, that's an intimidating team.
It is.
I mean, and they would use that to just bully other teams. And,
right.
And, you know, people called it bully ball, and that's fine. If you're getting wins.
If you're winning, that's all that
matters.
You can
call it whatever you want. They'll take the titles. I'm sure they're happier with the rings and being called bullies and having no rings and playing nice.
Favorite Bad Boys memory?
Honestly, anything involving Bill Laimbeer.
You're a fan of Bill.
I just loved how, you know, not the most skilled guy.
Right.
Not the best talent, but he was just there to get under people's skin.
Right.
And he did it with regularity.
And he couldn't jump over a piece of paper.
Exactly.
And he was...
Anytime somebody took a punt or, you know, threw a punch at Bill Laimbeer,
right.
Like that makes my list. Just because his ability to just be that pest.
Right.
You don't normally see it with big men.
No, you
don't.
It's
usually just tiny little point guards
right.
who get under guys' skins.
I always say the Napoleon complex.
Right.
That's why you see it
you know,
so
like,
much with
like
point guards.
Today's NBA, it's like the closest you get is maybe like Patrick Beverley.
Then you look at Nate
Rockets.
Robinson, too. Nate Robinson is a little chip on his shoulder,
exactly.
too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But you don't normally see it with big men.
You don't.
And to see a guy like that, you know, clotheslining guys, getting clotheslined, throwing punches, taking punches.
Right, right. It's great.
It brought a little bit of hockey to basketball.
It did. It did.
It was a good time.
I miss it, man. Really quick. We only got, 3 minutes left, if that even. Throwback Thursday, Matt, quick one.
All right. We got a couple things. Let's see. In 1987, Julius Erving became the third NBA player to score 30,000 points.
Dr. J.
Pretty impressive.
Gotta love it.
Back in 1947, Jackie Robinson Day, celebrated a few days ago, performed a bunt for his first major league hit. So he gets on the board. Of course, he would go on to have a fantastic career. One of the legends of the game, Jackie Robinson.
Yeah, definitely.
Let's see. We'll go all the way back to 1869. The first pro baseball game was held. The Cincinnati Reds beat the Cincinnati Amateurs 24-15.
That was their name, the Amateurs?
The Amateurs.
What kind of name is that? You're just sticking yourself in the bag before you hit the field.
Exactly. Right. 1920, American Professional Football Association forms. That was kind of the precipice of the NFL in 1920. And then 1933, the Chicago Bears win their first NFL game, beating the New York Giants 23-21. 1934, new Fenway Park opens, but the Washington Senators ruin the opening, beating the Red Sox 6-5. 1983, Nolan Ryan strikes out his 3,500th batter. Mm-hmm. Nolan Ryan, strikeout king for all of eternity. And last but not least, 2012, at 49 years and 141 days, Jamie Moyer became the oldest player in Major League history to record a win as the Rockies beat the Padres 5-3. He's almost 50 years old
and gets a W. That's remarkable. Crazy. He takes good care of himself. That's great. That's unbelievable. All right, well, just a quick update. The Tigers are battling, of course, with the Cleveland Indians. That one is 0-0 in the bottom of the third inning, just letting you guys know. All right, well, we are out of time. Thanks so much to everyone that tuned in today's Current Sports. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKR East Lansing. Check out Current Sports TV tonight. Again, as I sit down with Tico Duckett, you get to get updated on the world that is in sports here in mid-Michigan. All right, same time, same place tomorrow. As always, take care. Have a fantastic day. And be easy, people.